Listen, if you dare, to the Lovecraft Tapes.
Welcome to the Lovecraft Tapes podcast. I am Jeremy, your keeper of arcane lore, and this is K-17, Seance 9. Your investigators of the unknown are Brian as Ben.
Open your mind.
Lupine as Rosa.
Churches and crucifixion.
And Matt as Diego.
I plead the fifth.
Enigmatic forces reveal themselves just as clues to the mystery of the forgotten film congeal to form an unnerving picture of supernatural activity in the Hollywood Hills. Rosa and Diego are confronted by twin thugs at the storage facility, bearing witness to the gruesome murder of Little Davy. Ben catches a ride to work from a mysterious movie star, but his evening is disrupted by the news of multiple murders that hits too close to home. While the police attempt to tie our young investigators to the lurid deaths around town, a cult rears its fanged head, poised to strike. It is early morning, Friday, April 21st. Diego, sequestered in a basement holding tank with damp walls, unsuccessfully tries to alleviate his anxiety through meditation, dreading the moment his father will appear and wondering if his future at Greyheart Academy has been compromised. Ben cools his heels in a different cell block after a fitful night on a hard bunk, his brain bursting with the strange symbols which now seem to have grown brighter, teasing him with the promise of meaning at the extreme edges of his limited understanding. Somewhere else in Los Angeles, Rosa stares in obstinate fury at Harcourt and the twin bodyguards who flank her in the chapel of Lilith Devereaux's cult compound, even as her heart breaks at the sight of Cece bound to the cross on the dais. Diego, you're examining the bars of the jail cell, wondering how long your welding torch back on campus would take to cut through the soft iron, when the squeal of rusty hinges announces the door at the end of the hall is being opened. Hard footfalls steadily advance, and you instinctively recognize them. A dark shape materializes from the gloom to stand stiffly before your incarceration quarters. Your father is dressed in full uniform, and his dark eyes glisten with disappointment. Hello, son.
Ah, they told me you were coming. Didn't actually believe them, but...
So, this where you're living now?
Temporary accommodations.
Mm-hmm, I've heard that before.
They don't got nothing.
What do they have? Why are you here?
Oh, they think that I did something that I didn't, and instead of doing any actual police work, they're just trying to take the easy way out and pin it on somebody.
And that somebody is you and your friend Ben?
Yep.
So tell me what happened.
I got a job working at a place called Odeon Studios for a guy named Eugene Eubanks, you know, running some errands for him. And we went to check out a storage unit for him. He said he wanted some paperwork. So we get there and we're digging around looking for the paperwork when these guys show up. Guys in suits. Didn't get to see a whole lot of them because they kind of stabbed the owner of the place, who was just kind of waiting for us to grab what we need. So when I saw that happen, I kind of built myself a little box shield and put one over my head, you know, acted like a box. Worked out really well, mind you. And then they left. And on my way out is when the police showed up.
How do you know these other people? Owen somebody? Love connection?
Oh, yeah. He was a friend of Mr. Eubanks we were told to go and chat with. He was looking for something about one of his old projects. And the dude was, he was the camera guy on the shoot.
And he was found dead, murdered.
At the time, I was in the storage unit, so.
And then Sid somebody?
Yeah, he was also a part of the movie shoot. It didn't end well for him either, but I wasn't there at the time. I mean, you can check at the school. They keep track of us.
Do you not find it suspicious? You can see where that they're coming from, the police, suspecting you might have something to do with this?
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense. I'm just saying they're stupid and they're wrong. Maybe if they did their jobs for once.
I can see where you're coming from, son, and I've been talking with your mother all night.
Oh, you're still talking to each other, huh?
Well, of course. I mean, we have a common link. You, at least for now. This is a rather embarrassing circumstance for both of us.
I mean, Uncle Bob told me about that time that you and him wound up in jail, so, I mean, I think I'm off a lot better.
Well, that was Mexico. It doesn't count.
I'm just saying.
Once word gets out, and I'm sure it will, we're going to have some explaining to do. And I have contacted the family lawyer. He won't be able to spring you until Monday, unfortunately. So I guess that will give you the weekend to think things through. And if nothing else, question, perhaps meditate on the company you keep.
You know, I hear you can get out of here if you can get me a file inside of a cake.
Son, you know I don't bake.
I've also seen some dude chew through jail cell bars with salsa and some DC current.
You're thinking of MacGyver.
Just bring me my welder hidden inside of a cake.
Just get me Jamie Hyneman and Adam Savage.
I don't know what else to say. I understand that you are on the verge of graduating from Grey Heart, and I've already contacted the administration there, and thankfully they are going to belay any decisions until next week. For now, you are still a student there, but when you graduate next month, it might be time for you to think about getting a place of your own.
Okay. Well, I would say that I would have somebody that I might be able to split an apartment with, but he kind of went a little bit lately, so I don't know if that's still on the table or not.
I'll leave that to you, son. Best of luck, and I'll be in touch next week. Please take care of yourself, and we'll speak soon. And he turns on his heel and walks without looking back and slams the rusty, creaking door behind him. And as the clang of the door resonates through the hallway, and you're left to ponder what the future might hold for the relationship between you and your parents, the light in your cell high above flickers, and then all of the lights, and then all of the lights in the cell block go out, plunging you into darkness. Ben, it feels as though your cerebellum is pulsing at the base of your skull. The headache you had yesterday has become a dull, omnipresent throb. Whenever you close your eyes, those glowing sigils writhe as if emblazoned onto your retinas, living in your ocular cavities. The nightmare you had last night was very different from your previous dreams. Tell us about it.
I was in the darkest place I had ever been, and all I could see were the glowing symbols swirling around me. First, they were quite a ways away, maybe 100 yards away. Like a tornado, they just kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter until I couldn't move. I was frozen. And then all of a sudden, they weren't symbols anymore. I could kind of read what this was. I could make sense. It's not really reading. I just knew what these symbols were. And then new symbols, I couldn't decipher them. My head throbbing and pounding, it woke me up. I can't stand it. I need to get these out or understand what's happening.
All right, so you and I have a little bit of business to take care of, my friend. Increase your charm to 23. We are going to increase your fast talk to 8. Occult is also going up to 8. Persuade is going up to 34. Psychology is going up to 13. And sleight of hand is going up to 63. Wow. Hypnosis is going up to 6. Sanity is going down to 36. And your max is going to go down to 37.
Wait, is this all because you lost your mind? I want to lose my mind.
I mean, to be fair, he can almost hypnotize small animals at this point.
Matt and Lupine, please take off your headphones, and I'll give you a thumbs up when you can put them back on.
Okay.
Bri, I'm going to need you to roll D100, please.
49.
You are going to be suffering from something called Gutmania. It's an obsession with witches and witchcraft.
Oh, okay.
I'll give him thumbs up. We're good to go.
Hi.
As you pinch the bridge of your nose between forefinger and thumb, focusing on the pain to distract you from further visions, you're startled by three muffled popping noises. Gunshots? Followed by a high-pitched scream cut short and a heavy thud against the outer door at the end of the hallway. You sit up on the bunk, eyes wide, just as the bare light bulb above you goes out. 2 seconds pass, then the emergency lights go on, casting the cell block in a crimson glow that makes you feel as though you're floating underwater in a sea of blood. Without warning, your jail door disengages by itself and rolls open, the hollow clanking sound reverberating ominously off the cinder walls.
I'm going to immediately, quietly get down on and lay flat on my belly and army crawl, just so my head is barely poking out of the cell. Hello, officer?
No response.
Detective?
Free donuts.
Donuts did nothing wrong. No response.
I'm going to go across to the cinder block and kind of just slide down the hallway with my back up against the cinder block wall. And I'm going to constantly be speaking. Officer, I need assistance in here.
You approach the door, and so far there's been no response to your loud proclamations.
Well, regardless of who's on the other side, I know exactly how to get a response. Shave and a haircut.
No response.
Oh, come on. Nobody can resist that.
Something must be horribly, horribly wrong if nobody answered you.
That's right. 2 bits. I mean, come on.
It is one of the 7 signs of the apocalypse.
It is true.
Then you try Sweet Caroline.
Nope, nothing.
Oh, damn. We must really be screwed.
Well, I tried everything.
Well, I've tried nothing and I'm all out of ideas, so.
It doesn't matter anyway. I'm just going to try the handle. It's obviously going to be locked, so it's not a big deal anyway. But at least I tried. So I'm going to attempt the handle of the door.
And as soon as you touch the handle of the door, it swings open almost all of its own accord. And beyond, you see the police offices. You see like maybe a little bit of distant early morning daylight filtering in from a door at the far end of the room and a small window. But the offices appear to be in utter chaos. Papers strewn everywhere. There is a light fixture that is sort of swinging free of its moorings from the ceiling.
Jeez.
Back and forth, back and forth. You hear the distant sound of a phone off its hook. Meep, 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 meep. As your eyes become accustomed to the dimness, you see splashes of blood against some of the walls and on some of the furniture. What appear to be bullet holes riddled into one of the walls. But there are absolutely no bodies and nobody here at all. I am going to need you to make a sanity roll, please.
I just had a vision. I'm going to make a movie about a robot that comes from the future.
I think you mean cyborg.
You could call him an exterminator.
I need a 36. I rolled a 6. I am extremely not insane.
He's just so busy concentrating on that movie script.
So yeah, you take in this sight, which ordinarily would have set your teeth on edge and caused your mind to reel. But because you had heard those 3 muffled pops previously and you knew instinctively that they were gunshots, you knew something was going to be on the other side of that door and it wasn't going to be pretty. You're almost more curious than you are horrified as to where is everybody.
Crouch down, go to the nearest desk I can and try a phone.
And it just has that constant meep, 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 meep.
The number you're trying to reach.
No, that's what you say. The number you're trying to reach is off the hook.
Exit. Stage lefty fin.
I just need to know exactly what time it is.
It is 6:10 a.m.
So the next shift probably starts at 7 would be my guess. I can't just leave, obviously.
Well, you can.
Why not?
slowly and carefully and quietly explore the police station and try to find where Diego is located.
You have no idea where he's being held. There are many, many doors in this main office. There are stairs going up and down.
I figure I will start at the top and work my way down.
Rosa, your fist is clenched and your arm ready to deliver the mother of all cockswaddles to Harcourt's face when a high-pitched whistle emits from one of the henchmen at your side, distracting you momentarily. In answer, there comes the telltale tip-tap, tip-tap of claws on the tile floor, approaching at a loping sprint. You turn to see a muscular Doberman, nearly the same size as you, advancing on the group. Only where you'd expect to see the long snout and close-cropped ears of this breed of dog, the elongated neck ends in a fanged-tipped maw, slit vertically in an eyeless mass of flesh, the shape of a grotesque pumpkin and the color of a pus-filled boil. It obediently sits at Harcourt's feet, a pinkish tendril emerging from the mouth to lick the boy's hand. "This is Otto," Harcourt says happily. "He's a good boy."
"Oh, is that where your ball went? Your single ball?"
"He plays fetch, so I guess."
"With your balls? Because you clearly don't have any anymore."
"No,
they're gone.
Still attached.
Nope, they're gone.
I mean, they're slightly shriveled, but..."
"Pixar, it didn't happen."
"Well, anyways, do you want to, like, check out the rest of the compound? I mean, it's kind of cool here. It's like a mansion."
"What I would like to do is not going to happen. So, yes, show me the rest of this horrible nightmare of an abattoir. Yeah."
"Okay, yeah. Hey, guys, do you mind? We have Otto now, so you can watch her. She won't do anything with him around. I mean, Jesus, look at her." Griggs and Hobbs, the twin henchmen, look at you, silently nod, and then move off towards the dais.
"Is there a way that I can keep a very close eye on Otto to see if he shrinks away from anything, or if he seems like he doesn't want to go somewhere, or if he seems like he's limping, or..."
"If anything like that comes up, I'll let you know."
"All right."
"Okay, great. It's just us then. Don't worry. He doesn't bite much. I mean, a little bit, but, you know, just keep your hands away from his, whatever that thing is."
"Your ball?"
"So what do you want to see first? I mean, the place is big and it's got all kinds of cool stuff."
"I guess I'd like to see the armory."
"Well, there's a bunch of people down there right now. They're kind of practicing on the gun range."
"I'd love to see them."
"Okay, well, we'll just cut through the kitchen and then down the stairs."
"Okay."
"Are you hungry at all? We have, like, a special diet."
"I'm not eating a fucking piece of shit that comes out of here."
"Oh, well, we don't eat shit much."
"Well, I mean, that's good, but I'm still not eating it."
"I mean, it kind of looks like shit. It's not terrible." "Okay, well, yeah, follow me. Come on, Otto." And Otto just taps happily next to you. And you guys head into the kitchen. And the kitchen is huge. It looks like a chef's kitchen, a restaurant almost. Appliances and equipment to prepare meals for easily 100 people at any given time. Thankfully, right now, it's abandoned.
"Are there any chef's knives?"
"You don't see any right off the bat."
"I'm going to ask Harcourt where the ho-hos are."
"Could you keep it down just a little bit? Come on over here." And he sneaks over to a cabinet at the far end of the kitchen. "Do you want one?"
"Sure."
And he opens up the cabinet, goes behind some other questionable jars that have weird things floating in fluid, pushes those aside, and then reaches back and grabs a box of ho-hos and fishes one out. He looks around just to make sure no one else is watching and opens up the packaging and hands you one, and then he stuffs one in his face too.
"Could I see that the package was intact before he opened it?"
"Yeah, absolutely."
"Okay."
"Good, right?"
"Mm-hmm. Hose for sanity."
"That's it, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up, because the whole cult thing,
mm-hmm,
it's true, but..."
"Well, no shit, it's true. It's all fucking around us."
"It's that kind of cult? Oh, excuse me."
"I'm not part of it. You know, after we watched that film..."
"Yeah."
"Something was controlling me. I started to not like ho-hos, which was really weird for me."
"That is super weird."
"I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't do anything about it, you know? It felt weird. It felt like I wasn't in control of my own body. I came here because I was drawn here. There was a woman's voice, that lady, Lilith, and she was calling me here. I don't know how else to put it, but I left the dorms and I just found myself here at our mansion.
Hey, Harcourt?
Yeah.
Remember when we all huddled on that raft in the middle of the lake at Gitmahond?
Yeah.
I want you to keep that in your mind, okay?
I was losing that image. I started to not remember, like, Lindsay. I could remember her name for a while there.
We're the only ones we can count on. Can I count on you?
Yes, you can now. I swear. There's something about the ho-hos. As soon as I had one, the spell was broken.
Have you been eating the food here?
Well, I was previously, yes. They make you eat it. It's not very good, but when you're under their spell, actually, it's not too bad. It's pretty good. It sort of reminds me of, like, I don't know, Burger King or something.
I mean, it could be worse. It might have been White Castle.
Oh.
I was hungry, and I wanted something a little bit more than what they were feeding, and I found one in my pocket, an old piece of a ho-ho, just a little chunk in my pocket. And I ate it without even thinking about it, because that's what I used to do, is just, you know, shovel them in. It was like my eyes were opened. And so I'd been eating one regularly just to kind of keep the edge on because I could feel it still there. She's there in the back of my brain.
Have you stopped eating the stuff that they give you?
Yeah, it's the stuff here in the jar. I don't know exactly what it is.
That looks really nasty.
Yeah, I think that's a hoof. Is that a hoof?
I don't want to look too much.
Yeah, they kind of put it in a grinder. They give us these funnels, and they just sort of shove it into the funnel, and we sort of drink it. It's like a smoothie, but like a meat smoothie.
But it's all natural, free-range, organic, non-GMO. Mmm, meat smoothie.
That's gross. Basmatic, no. Can I have one of those to just, like, put in pocket?
Yeah. Try to keep one on you at all times, just in case. If you feel odd or whatever, just, you know, pop one of those in.
Okay.
Where's Justin? We need a t-shirt that says Lilith's Meat Smoothies.
God, yes, we do.
Look, I'm really sorry about Cece. She saw me when I was under the spell, and she followed me here. That's when they got her. I'm so sorry.
Okay, we have to figure out how to get her out.
I've been trying to rack my brains, like trying to find anything, any clues around here that would help us out and help us fight. I mean, obviously we can't fight against those thugs because they're just too strong. And then of course there's Otto here. All I do is whistle. And then.
So Otto isn't obedient to you.
No, he's like sort of programmed, I guess, you know, like the computers they have these days. You do some computer stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I have some computer use.
I think there is actually a computer in her office.
It's got Windows 11 on it.
I could probably totally, like, hack into that. Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea. I mean, maybe there's more clues there of, like, I don't know, weakness or something. And so far, the only thing I've been able to find is, you know, the ho-ho's break the spell, but I don't know why.
Are there any others like Otto?
Not that I've seen so far, but down in the basement, there's a couple rooms there that keep off limits. I haven't been able to go everywhere so far. She keeps it pretty tight leash. Like, you'll turn around and she's like right there all of a sudden.
And I'm going to literally turn it right and look behind me.
I think maybe we should go elsewhere because I think they're going to start with breakfast soon. And we don't want to be caught here munching on ho-ho's.
So, Harcourt, you know that I'm going to have to keep acting like a bitch to you, right?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Just, you know, if you do punch me in the face, just maybe go a little light.
I think I'll probably be able to stay away from the physical violence, because I think Otto isn't going to be very happy with the physical.
He's kind of creepy, but he's kind of nice too. I mean, it's good to have a pet, I guess.
Okay. I just want you to know that I'm going to have to act like a bitch, but I trust you.
Well, if it's any consolation, you're a real good bitch.
Okay, thanks.
You want to go check out the armory and see what they're doing down there? Her office is down there too.
Okay, let's go that way.
Follow me. And as soon as you get halfway to the staircase doorway, that's when the personnel come into the kitchen to begin preparation. And you just catch them out of the corner of your eye, gathering up jars of those creepy bits floating in fluid and setting up some sort of grinder system with an old style crank grinder attachment.
Oh, look what the creepy ball dog dragged in.
And Harcourt leads you through the door, and then you see a steep flight of steps that descend to the basement. So, Diego, you're sitting there, the lights have just gone out, and immediately the red emergency lights flood the basement level, and you see at least 9 other cells all around you empty. You sit there waiting for someone to come and tell you what has happened for 2 hours. Nobody comes. You don't hear any noises. The lights do not come back on. You're becoming more and more concerned.
Earthquake?
Would you have felt that down here in the basement? Is there some other sort of catastrophic thing? Did the Ruskies finally drop the bomb?
Did California finally break off and float away into the Pacific Ocean? Are we going to go join Hawaii? Because I'd be totally okay with that.
And then, as you're contemplating all of these possible scenarios, the door at the end of the hallway creaks open again. And you hear a voice. Hello? Hello? And it's Lindsay. Diego, are you down here?
Holy shit, what the fuck are you doing here?
Oh my god! And she runs to your cell and grabs hold of the bars. Where's Ben?
They put him somewhere else. They separated us. I don't know where he is.
Something happened up there.
Earthquake?
No.
Did the Ruskies finally drop the bomb?
I don't think so.
Did California break off into the ocean?
Diego, are you okay? I saw there was like a lot of blood upstairs.
Oh, really? I've just been kind of hanging out down here. There's a hobo a couple of cells down that way who's still a little bit drunk. We've been chatting on and off when he's conscious.
Diego, there's nobody there.
Oh, man, did they get Hobo Joe? Damn. He was a good man. Rest in peace, Hobo Joe.
How do we get you out of here?
There has to be some sort of, like, control panel around here somewhere that operates these things. It's a remotely operated thing, you know.
Okay. Let me check. You stay there. Oh, what am I saying? You stay there. And I'll go take a look and see if I can find the failsafe.
Maybe if you can get my welder to me hidden inside of a cake.
Ooh, that's a good idea, but I don't bake.
Oh, damn.
And she rushes halfway back to the door, and then sort of you see her catch herself slightly as she realizes what she's going to see on the other side of that door up the stairs. Glances back at you once and then firmly but steadily walks through the door. And you hear her go up the steps.
I'm going to start doing some stretches, some warm-ups in my cell, just so I'm ready to go. You've been sitting stationary for 2 hours. You got to make sure you're not going to get any cramps, you know?
Got to move those legs. Don't want any deep vein thrombosis.
Oh, yeah, no. That's a terrible way to go.
If you're stationary for too long, then you'll end up writing a whole bunch of letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And after a couple minutes, you hear a click and your door rolls open. And Lindsay rushes back down the stairs. Clap, 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 clap. Did that work?
Hey, and I'm going to jump out of my cell.
She can't help herself. She rushes forward and hugs you. Oh, God, it's so good to see you. Are you sure you haven't seen Ben?
And what is this?
Ben walks in while you're deep in an embrace.
Get your hands off of him.
We should probably go. I looked around at the other cell blocks, and I can't find him anywhere.
Maybe he already got out? If these doors open, who's to say the other cell block doors didn't also kind of, you know, pop open on their own?
Maybe he left already. You're the only person I've seen.
Wait, really? There's a whole police station out there.
Come on, look. And she heads back up the stairs.
I'm going to follow her up.
And you see chaos. There is blood splashes everywhere. Clearly, some sort of altercation took place. No bodies, no evidence of people actually being hurt, other than the stains and the gunshot holes in the walls. And you hear a siren approaching from out on the street. Diego, do you think maybe we should go?
Let's see. How do we get out of here?
The front door. Quick, let's go.
Be right behind her.
So the two of you creep to the front door, and looks like normal traffic out there. People coming and going. You could probably lose yourself in the crowd pretty easy.
All right, let's get going.
And Lindsay opens the door, and you blend into the crowds.
Guilty. 25 years of a murder. This was all a test.
Hi, I'm Chris Hansen. Have a seat.
You get about a block away, and behind you hear the squealing of tires as patrol cars come to a stop outside the station behind you. Lindsay grabs your hand and immediately turns the corner, leading you down one of the cross streets. Oh, God, that was close.
I guess there's no turning back now.
Should we go back to the dorm?
I'm trying to even think about where Ben would have gone.
Where's Rosa? I haven't seen her.
I have no idea.
Or Harkard either.
You know where we might be able to hide out for a while?
Where?
Do I see any street signs around telling me where I'm at?
You are in Hollywood proper. You and Lindsay are walking, and you pass a bus stop where someone is putting up brand new posters in the bus stop's shelter. And it's for a movie called The Ninth Session, coming soon. And it's just a large profile of a woman smiling and looking at the camera.
Why does that face look weirdly familiar?
What, Diego? Do you know this movie?
No, but the woman in the poster, I've seen her somewhere before, but I can't place it. How much change do you have on you?
I don't know, like a couple bucks?
How far do you think we can get with that?
On the bus?
Either on the bus or in a cab.
Cab, probably not, but let's check the schedule here. Give me a luck roll.
I needed a 56. I rolled a 26. That's a hard success.
Yeah, it looks like the bus is going to be here in about 4 minutes.
Is it the bus that's heading to Toluca Lake?
Yes, it is.
Perfect. Tell you what, let's sit here for 4 minutes and hop that next bus. I got somewhere we can hide for a while.
She sits next to you at the bus stop and glances nervously down the road at the corner that you had turned. Every time an approaching siren comes your way, she sort of looks poised, ready to flee at a moment's notice. The guy finishes putting up the poster. He actually puts up three of them on the bus shelter, all the same thing. And you see on one of the skyscrapers, a team putting up a billboard at the very top, like replacing the old The Exorcist poster with another one called The Ninth Session, coming soon. And it's that same poster that's behind you. And you know that you've seen this face before, but you just can't quite place it.
So is the guy that put the posters up, is he gone?
Yes, he has moved on.
So as soon as he's out of sight, I'm going to grab and try and rip one of the posters off the shelter and roll it up and take it with me.
It's pretty fresh, so you can actually tear off. But it's a subway poster, so those things are massive.
Yeah, no.
So you have this rolled up poster that's still a little bit wet from the application. It is about 4 feet long.
You're going to try to unroll it and it's going to be stuck to itself?
I don't think that far ahead, okay?
The bus pulls up and Lizzie's like, come on, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah, all right, let's go.
You turn around and on the side of the bus is an advertisement for The Ninth Session, coming soon. And now it clicks. The woman's face is the young woman from Seance 9, but she looks slightly different. Her eyes are slightly different. Her iris is completely swallowed by the pupil, so there's only a thin ring of dark color.
Must be some good shit she's on. Damn.
Someone's real high.
Then you hear a voice say, hey, kid, you getting on or what?
Yeah, come on, Lindsay.
And the two of you get on the bus to go to Toluca Lake. Ben, you reach the top floor of the police department, and it's the same scene up there. Doors have been ripped off their hinges. There are windows between offices shattered. There are telltale bloodied handprints on the floor, and nobody anywhere. Many of the doors that are solid and don't have windows in them, you suspect might lead to other cell blocks, but they're all secured and won't budge.
What happened here? An earthquake? Did California fall off into the Ho-Ho-Shin?
The Ho-Ho-Shin?
And just then I hear something way down the stairs. I'm like, Diego, is that you? Couldn't be. I'll keep looking up here.
All you hear is meep, meep,
meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep, meep. It's got a good beat, but you can't dance to it.
You can dance if you wanna.
I don't wanna.
You can leave Diego behind.
Please don't.
How many stories is this building?
We'll say 4.
Okay, he's not up here. Next floor.
Same.
Down to the main floor, then.
Every floor is the same.
The only option I have left is down the stairs to the basement. Hi-ho! So I go down the stairs to the basement.
Hi-ho!
You go down to the first landing. It's one of those switchbacks. Turn around to go down the remainder of the staircase. And there is no basement. There are four steps which lead down, and then it is a gray ooze floating. Appears to have either flooded the basement.
We struck oil. We're rich. Black gold. Texas tea.
Gray gold.
Gray goose?
Gray goose.
Do you have any gray poop on?
And as you watch, the level begins to rise.
Nope, 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 nope. I'm going to head back upstairs and out the front doors.
So you approach the front doors and look out onto the Hollywood cityscape. There are no cars. There are no people.
Open the top drawer of the desk that I'm closest to and dig for a letter opener.
Give me a luck roll.
I died. Sorry, I need a 66. I rolled 75, so I failed that roll.
The drawer is locked.
Scan the top of the desk and look for like a paperclip or a push pin or something.
There's some paperclips there, sure.
I'm going to take the paperclip, bend one of the arms up, and on the back of my hand, I'm going to draw a circle, carve it into my hand, make a pentagram for safety on my hand.
Okay.
And then I'm going to drop the paperclip, close my eyes, and take a step towards the main entrance.
All right, you do.
I open one eye. Okay, nothing happened. Maybe this works. Open the other eye and take a couple more steps out of the police station.
So you open up the door and there is a warm wind blowing from the south. For a moment, it feels comforting because you've been in this cold cell in this cinder block building for quite some time. But then you notice that nothing is being blown by the wind.
Nothing's being blown. That's a crime.
But is anything being sucked?
There are flags hanging limply. The leaves on trees are still. Your hair is not being ruffled at all. But you feel this warm wind.
Sorry.
And then you hear a rev of a car engine approaching.
Vroom, vroom.
Ooga. And around the corner comes a familiar sight. It is a yellow Mustang convertible being driven by the woman who gave you a lift yesterday. And she brakes loudly at the curb, leans out and says, "Well, well, if it isn't my excitable boy. Need a lift?"
Oh, sorry. It almost always happens.
Bing.
Boy, oy, 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 oy.
What's going on? Where is everybody? Why am I getting blown but nothing else?
Well, hop in. We'll talk about it.
I hop in.
And you're going to have fun, fun, fun.
And no sooner than your door shuts and she accelerates to top speed along the city streets.
I didn't even put my seatbelt on.
She laughs joyously as the two of you speed away.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Rosa. So Harcourt leads you with Otto creepily tip-tapping behind you. The basement has been turned into an extensive compound of rooms. There are many areas where people are actually physically training with weapons. Many people doing karate, using throwing stars on dummies. There is a gun range. You can hear it beyond a door that has clearly been assembled to help muffle the sound, even though you can hear the shots being fired on the range. All of the cultists' bedding and quarters are down here. Clearly, Lilith likes to keep the riffraff down below. But as Harcourt explained, he does take you to very stout and highly decorated wooden doors. That's her office. She keeps it locked, though.
If only we knew somebody who had less than 7 lockpicking skills.
There are at least 24 folks who are all dressed up in identical blue jumpers. They have all had their hair shorn, and they all have this same strange glazed look. Their lips are slightly gray. You're not sure why that is.
Oh, I don't like the implications of that. You said the quarters of the cultists are down here. Are they like separate rooms or cots?
Yeah, they're large communal rooms with cots and bunk beds, essentially.
Okay, but there is like a wall between where they sleep and like the training area.
Absolutely.
The shooting range is completely closed off, you said.
It is, yeah. That appears to be a little bit more secure than the rest of the areas.
And I'm assuming her office is on a different end of the room. So everybody's like practicing over here and her office is like over here.
Yeah, it's sort of sequestered.
Oh, fuck it. I'll try it. Harcourt, can you stand in front of me? I'm going to try to pick this door.
Of course. And he moves over and sort of blocks view of anybody who might walk past.
Is Otto looking at us?
No, Otto is actually looking mostly at the activity around the corner. He appears to be very interested and curious about the throwing stars as he kind of moves to fetch occasionally. Like his instinctual reaction is to get it.
That's actually adorable. Okay, I guess I'm going to try to pick the door.
Spend the luck.
Oh, shit. I just got a 100.
Well, Lupin, I hope you're ready to introduce your new character next week.
Yeah, so that is a fumble.
And what are you using to attempt to pick that lock?
I don't know, like a hairpin?
Well, you did use a nail once upon a time, too, at Odeon, didn't you?
Right.
Yeah, we'll just say you fish around in your pocket and you find that same nail that you picked up at Odeon. So you try to work that in there and you hear tumblers disengaging. And for a moment, you're hopeful. But then the nail just slips into the hole and wedges the lock shut.
More than the tip. Oops.
So you have now permanently locked the door, so it's going to have to be broken down. The key will no longer work because you've jammed up the hole. As the nail slipped from your grasp, you tried desperately to grab it out of there with your finger, and you cut your fingertip. Blood dripped into the hole and smeared on the lock.
Which might be okay, yeah.
How's it coming, Rosa? Oh my God, what'd you do?
I locked the door. I locked it really good.
We're trying to do the opposite of that, though.
Yeah, but now at least they can't get in either.
Oh, shit. People know we've been down here, so we might want to try to get the fuck out of here.
Do you have any other place you can show me? Where do you bunk? Do you bunk with these cultists? Or?
Yeah, I have to bunk with them. We're all down here, unfortunately.
I don't think your cover's blown exactly yet. Just show me something on the first floor.
Okay, let's go walk fast.
We're speed walking.
Just act casual, guys. It's okay.
And Otto is following closely, just wagging his tail. And if he had eyes, he'd be looking around. Once you get back to the main floor, he's like, did you want to talk to Cece real quick to say hi?
If I could, yeah. That'd be great.
I'll wait here for you. You can go in.
Okay. I'm going to walk up to Cece.
So you walk out of the kitchen and back into towards the cathedral. You see Griggs and Hobbs sort of standing guard next to one of the main doors in the cathedral. And they just look at you silently.
Hey, guys.
And Otto, of course, is keeping right next to your heels.
Okay, I'm going to walk up to her, put my hand on her foot.
And you begin to extend your hand to touch her foot when suddenly one of the thugs is standing right next to you somehow and clamps his hand on your shoulder.
Hey, what?
Points down at the ground.
I look at the ground.
There is a red line painted on the floor about 10 feet from the dais with some words etched on there that says, please refrain from touching the sacrificial offering to our elder gods, lest they be angered. Thank you, the management.
So you're not even going to let me touch her?
The thug nods and then moves away.
Fine, go fuck yourself. I'm going to stand behind the line. And I'm going to try to catch her eye.
And she's been watching you the entire time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
You trust me?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Is she gagged right now?
Mm-hmm.
Kinky.
I'm sorry I said those things. I was trying to get to let you go.
Mm.
I don't know what else to... My face is going to get real stony. I'm getting us out of here.
And Cece just nods, looking at you with clear love.
All right. I'll see you later. Love you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. So, Diego, you get off the bus just down the way from Odeon Studios. And Lindsay follows. What are we doing here? You think he's here?
Well, I mean, Yu has an extreme aversion to the authorities. So if anybody is going to be willing to hide us, it'd probably be him.
Yeah. Okay.
Head up and in to the studio.
So you go up to the front door and there is a note on it that has been taped from the inside that says closed till Monday.
Fuck. I'm going to try the door anyway just to see if it's unlocked.
It is locked.
Ah, fuck.
Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
I needed a 59. I rolled an 80. That's a failure.
You're really pissed off because you thought for sure Ben would be here or Yu might give you some help, but clearly he's taking care of some other business this weekend.
Well, I'm all out of ideas.
I guess we could go back to the academy.
Don't you think that'd be like one of the first places they'd look?
You're right. Let me think. And a gentleman across the street walks up to a blank wall and begins putting up a poster for the ninth session. And actually, he puts up multiple posters all along the side of a office building with that lady's face still looking at you, mocking you. The ninth session coming soon.
Oh, man. Problem is, as we go anywhere we think we're okay to go, they're probably going to check there first. We need to be unpredictable. Can't let them know our next move. Keep them on their toes. Put them in high heels. Unless you might know Ben better than I do? Any ideas what he might be?
He's been very offish lately. I don't know. I don't think he'd be dumb enough to go back to the dorms. Do you think he's with Rosa?
I mean, I haven't seen Rosa in a while either.
When's the last time you saw her?
She was grabbed by those goons back at the storage place.
What?
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Oh, I didn't tell you about the store. Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. Slipped my mind. It's been a day and a half. We figured out that there was a storage unit that has a bunch of stuff in it, and we figured they might have some more information on the Seance 9 film we've been looking into. We get there. We find our paperwork, but two goons come in and stab the dude who ran the place.
Little Davy?
Yep. Yeah, they thought I did it, but I didn't do it. I'm innocent. I was framed.
So innocent.
So she kind of got nabbed and dragged out, and yeah.
Do you know anything about what they look like? Anything we could use to try to track them down?
As soon as I saw that they'd stabbed Little Davy, I went into panic mode and just kind of hid. Did not come out until I was totally sure it was safe.
I work at the newspaper, and I might be able to get somebody there to help me try to get more information.
You know anybody who does crime reporting?
Yeah, of course. I've been helping them.
Maybe they know something about these murders that we don't.
What about this? I'll go to the office. I'll see what I can find out, and we can meet for lunch. Compare notes.
Yeah. Where do you want to meet for lunch?
Why don't we meet at Ricky's?
Yeah, that might work. Probably somewhere around there I can hide out for a while.
Just try to get a hold of Cassidy and see if she's got any information.
You have any change so I can use the payphone?
I got like a buck left. Here you go.
Thanks.
Lindsay says, good luck, and goes to catch a bus.
How am I going to get all the way over to Ricky's?
You can see now that the gentleman across the street has put up about a dozen of those posters.
Walk up to the wall next to the door and try and unroll my poster to get a closer look at it.
It's identical to the ones that he's putting up, but it's in much poorer shape now.
I want to see what studio is making it.
Star Productions.
I'm going to walk up to a payphone and dial 0 for an operator.
Yes, how can I help you?
Yes, I would like to know if you could help me. I need an address for a Star Productions.
Star Productions, okay, how do you spell that?
S-T-A-R.
All right, Star Productions, they're listed here as Star Theater.
And what's the address for that?
Oh, that's 6660 Hollywood Boulevard.
6660 Hollywood Boulevard. Okay, thank you. Oh, it's back the way I came.
Ironically, that address is only about 5 blocks away from the police station that you escaped.
God damn it. I'm going to walk back to the bus shelter and check the schedule.
Give me a luck roll.
I needed a 56. I rolled a 27. That's a hard success.
So yeah, it looks like it's going to be about 4 minutes.
Just catch the exact same bus going the opposite direction. Hey, Phil, how's it going? How's the wife?
We'll end up here with Ben. The woman behind the wheel appears to be having just a fantastic time as she blows through lights that are not functioning.
She blows lights.
She went from suck to blow.
When she speaks to you, you don't hear the roar of the engine. You don't hear the wind whistling past your ears as she's exceeding 80 miles an hour.
Jeez.
And she turns to you and says, you really never knew your father, did you?
No, I didn't. How did you know that?
Well, I knew your father. Yes, it's very sad, his story.
What do you mean?
You saw the film.
We only saw that little piece.
Well, you saw what became of him at the end. That was most unfortunate. He shouldn't have tried to be a hero.
Did you kill my dad?
Yes and no. He probably killed himself.
What do you mean?
He was the one who provided the Ouija board for that seance.
So this wasn't a movie that you were filming?
Well, yes and no again. You keep asking these two-sided questions. Yes, it was a movie, but yes, it happened in real life. Those events that you witnessed on the film did indeed happen.
Well, I figured that out, but why would he be part of it?
Hans Gruber was a complicated man. He was an amateur magician and a budding actor whose one wish when he came to Hollywood was to be closer to his young son. I think that is why he took the risk of providing the Ouija board, one that he unwittingly thought was a simple prop. But he bought it from an estate sale in Germany from the famed occult writer Friedrich von Jungst. He said it was to give the production an air of authenticity, but he didn't realize what was inside the planchette.
What was inside of it?
Well, I was, in essence. But I was allowed to become more through the help of that nice young woman who lent me this body.
Why were you in there?
That's a long and complicated question. Maybe we can talk about this at my place. I can tell you a bit more about your father, Hans Gruber.
Join me, Ben. Join me.
I don't know where you're at, Rosa.
The Reach!
The Reach is back!
This summer, it's The Reach.
Return of The Reach.
This summer, The Reach comes back around.
Where is everybody? What is this place?
This is neither a place or a moment in time. We are outside of both.
How?
I believe you are experiencing a certain transformation, are you not?
Are you my paralysis demon?
It's time for you to learn about puberty.
I feel different and funny.
Hey guys, what's going on?
You are not ignorant of the ways of magic.
I've always been drawn to magic.
Well, look around you. What can be accomplished with a few simple conjuration spells? Perhaps I could teach you more.
Like, what could you teach me?
There was something inside you once.
How did you know? I was alone in the shower.
A means of communication with other people?
The Reach.
Is that what you call it? The Reach?
Yeah, because we could reach each other. Toll free.
That's very clever of you. What if I told you that power can be harnessed to contact other people, other consciousnesses, from places beyond this planet?
Like the moon?
Yes, there are some on the moon, but even further beyond our solar system.
The other side of the moon?
The dark side of the moon.
I think I'd like to learn that.
And imagine what interesting new magic tricks they could teach you. By the way, Ben, my name is Lilith Devereaux. Pleased to meet your acquaintance.
Certainly.
I think you're going to make a very fine addition to my team of magicians.
When can I learn?
Immediately. She snaps her finger, and the world instantly comes to life. You can feel the wind. People are walking down the sidewalks. Cars are going on the roads. And she goes even faster in the yellow convertible, laughing as she steers towards Beverly Hills. Thank you for listening to Tape 7 of K17 Seance 9. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider writing a review on the podcast platform of your choice. Also, subscribe to our live streams at twitch.tv/lovecrafttapes or youtube.com/lovecrafttapes. Want to drop us a note of devotion? Please visit lovecrafttapes.com anytime to send a letter from beyond via our contact form. As always, the Lovecraft Tapes is brought to you in part by our generous supporters on patreon.com/lovecrafttapes. Thank you to Jordy Rose, Atulia, Brownie Davis, Barry Robison, Chris Parker, Elizabeth Greaves, John Scarsella, James Mayo, The Frilled Shark, Kyle Sherman, Huge Pie, Little Rowan Plays, Amanda Power, Jefferson Bell, Eric Zane, Olda Polkert, Michelle, Ripley Iwin, Luke Corbin, Eric Phillips, Malumber 57, Dom Driver, Snow, Horse Draper, Andrew Petty, Prophet of Woe, Frank Delventhal, David Winterman, Boston Harbor Whore, Stephen Gregory, Liz Moonberry, Robert Jameson, Chainsaw Unicorn, Shelley DM, Captain Vashton, Peter VDB, James Brown, Ineptus Astartus, Matthew, Ruined Ashes, Shane Stoley, Phoenix Black, Jay Clark, Oddity, JR, LMF10, Sean McConnell, Brindle Stubbs, AE Jonesy, Marty Dixon, Kie, Botran, Rich Pogue, Rolling Boxcars, Jeffrey Young, Bifford, Reaper Jones, Fudgy Vamp, Poppy Mama, Holden Omans, Justin Levesque, Phil Campbell, Nicholas Hutto, John Konopasek, Chris Evans, Mick Cope, Kevin G., Robert Lamb, Robert Lutzner, Jehovah's Thickness, Tomas, Benjamin King, The Great Scott, Kabdar Tachai, Surat and Wizard of Isinglass, Don't Forget Cherry, Matt's Sister Literally, Smegamus Grundlegunge, Jeff Howie, Huku Roll, Jack, Sarah Wiley, David Agate, and Nick Carr. Thank you guys. Appreciate all the support. We like you. We like you very much.
Thank you. Thank
Finger
you.
Finger guns. Would you like to deepen our relationship? Chat with me, the cast members, and other fans in real time at discord.lovecrafttapes.com.
If anybody wants to you know, give me a nice hiding spot somewhere in Hollywood, you know, hit me up with an address. I'm pretty sure I can catch the next bus there. I've been having pretty good luck with the bus schedules today, actually. You can drop that address to me on either Mastodon or Blue Sky at The Real Weird Kid.
If you want to talk to me about how to totally do the best lockpicking job ever, you can leave me a note at my linktree/lupinevendetta, all one word. Yeah, lockpicking. Cha-cha.
And I would like to thank all of our professors for reaching out to me in my nightmares and letting me know how to fix my computer so it doesn't crash in the middle of a recording. I've sensed your thoughts and I appreciate them. Reach out again.
Until next time, roll for fumble.
It's the final fumble.
The Lovecraft Tapes podcast is copyright 2024. For more information and sponsorship opportunities, please send email to podcast@thelovecrafttapes.com. Support the Lovecraft Tapes podcast and get access to exclusive content and rewards at patreon.com/lovecrafttapes.